Welcome to CPA Spotlight, a look at the issues that impact CPAs, their clients, and their businesses from the Maryland Association of CPAs. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I'm Bill Sheridan. A new year brings with it a lot of the same old problems for CPA firms and companies across the nation. Right near the top of that list, of course, are staffing concerns, and running in tandem with that are generational issues. We've got four generations working side by side in the office these days. Each has its own way of doing things, so the question is, how do we get them all to play nice? Lynn Krager says the answer might be as easy and as hard as listening. Krager is a management consultant with PWD Consulting. She's also an instructor for our very own Business Learning Institute, where she offers courses that deal specifically with generational issues. As with so many other things, Krager says the key to solving our generational issues is in communication, listening to each other, talking about our expectations, having real conversations about why what we do matters. Let's listen to Lynn explain exactly what she means. Lynn, briefly describe the generations that make up today's workforce. What characteristics define each?
There are four basic groups that we see as having different behaviors. The first group is the traditionalists, the second is the baby boomers, the next is the Gen Xers, and the final is the millennials. The traditionalists currently are in their early mid-60s and older, so they're very much with us. The baby boomers are currently in their early 40s through their early 60s. The Gen Xers are pretty much in their early 30s into their early 40s. And the millennials right now are 20-somethings into their early 30s. One caution we have to remember before we think about their definitions is that the world does not divide into four great fat groups, and each person in each group behaves the way everybody else behaves. When we talk about the characteristics, we're talking very, very broadly, and we have to remember that when we're working with humans, we deal with individuals, not with generational types. So treat all of this information as useful, but only useful insofar as it helps us address the individual. The traditionalists are our great generation that fought our wars and lived through the Great Depression. They are very predictable, they are very loyal, they treasure respect, they treasure family, they treasure following through on promises. Baby boomers decided that they did not like the staidness of the traditionalists, and they are known for an intense belief in being able to do absolutely anything from changing the world to living forever. Baby boomers are all about whatever it takes. The Gen Xers are the byproduct of some baby boomers who, in the process of doing whatever it takes, decided to defer having families. So the very few baby boomers who did have children produced the Gen Xers. They are our latchkey children. Many of the baby boomers who did have children decided to go back to work, and in the process of going back to work, were not at home for their children. The Gen Xers are the children who learn to come home, microwave their snacks, get their homework done, and get themselves to bed. Consequently, the Gen Xers are an extremely independent, self-managed, self-driven group who relies on no one else and pretty much has negated loyalty as a critical factor. That's why the Gen Xers forced onto the business world the concept of work-life balance, because they wanted to ensure that when they had families, that they did not sacrifice their own children, their own families to business. The final group, the millennials, who may be as young today as in their early teens, but the only ones we are watching are obviously in their 20s and early 30s, are the byproduct of baby boomers who want to do whatever it takes, therefore had children often very late into life and started to produce the children that they so very much wanted, and the Gen Xers who had the children that they so very much wanted. And this is consequently the most wanted generation. They have been raised in schools that want to establish and maintain very strong, positive self-esteem, and they have grown up with technology as part of the core of their lives. Consequently, they think fast, they move fast, they have very short attention spans, and they have a very strong self-focus with a fairly good sense of values when we're talking the strongest of the millennials, the most positive of those millennials.
That's a lot of really unique characteristics for each one of those groups. What kind of conflicts can arise when you throw all those generations together into one workplace?
Any place where we have a lot of people work together, particularly if they're bright and they're trying to be high achievers, we're going to run into major conflict by age just because of different life stages. But the strong differences that we see across the four generations tend to produce issues around respect, where a traditionalist expects to be included and informed. They don't like being ignored. Baby boomers want to be respected for their high-achieving values. Millennials tend to disrespect people who want to put all of it into work hours and not onto results. So respect is a huge issue where conflict arises. Timing and the pace of work and the timing and pace of rewards becomes a huge issue. Traditionalists and baby boomers pretty much expect people to pay their dues. Gen Xers and millennials want to prove they can do it and move forward as fast as they can. The same thing with learning. Gen Xers and millennials want to move very quickly through the learning process because they can and they expect to be allowed to. Baby boomers and traditionalists are often extremely threatened by that pace and tend to withhold learning and teaching because they want to make sure that they still own their own power. Expectations of involvement and feedback tend to be radically different across the generations. As we move particularly into the millennial group, they want extremely high involvement. They want to make sure that they are heard constantly, and they want feedback constantly, quick feedback, focused feedback, positive feedback, preferably constantly. And finally, communication style makes for huge areas of conflict, where if baby boomers want to hold the paper, the millennials want everything text messaged, and they want it immediately. Baby boomers want it framed and packaged. Gen Xers and millennials just want it regularly, consistently, and with lots of trust and believability built in.
Now, something tells me you're not going to be able to please everyone at every single moment of the day. So what can leaders do to get these generations to play nice?
I think probably one of the most important things that we can all do is to make sure that we are being honest and completely truthful, as in not withholding key information at any level whatsoever, because we need to be extremely clear about expectations and issues. And as part of that process, we need to make sure that we've been clear and truthful and complete, and then that we talk through what it is we think we have communicated, because that dialogue tends to increase the level of clarity, and each of the generations seems to be crying out regularly for increased clarity and shared perspective. It's not enough to simply say something, request it to be done, and then disappear. The dialogue has to follow the explanation. We need to increase the frequency of feedback, and we need to make it extremely constructive and as brief as possible. We can't get people to play nice if they don't understand where they're not being productive or where they're not being seen as relevant, but we can't dwell on it. So we need to identify what's not working, identify what we need to see, have a constructive dialogue, which may be very, very brief, in fact, and then keep moving. We need to rethink work, because work is about results. It's not about hours, and we really, really need to rethink what actually has to be created at the end of the day, who's best producing that. We probably can increase the amount of work that we actually assign people if we focus on results, but we need to make sure that people recognize that we're not driven by the number of hours they put in. We are driven by the quality of the output that they actually deliver. We have to spend a lot more time talking and getting people to talk. The millennial generation in particular is driven by connection. They're also driven to be more productive when they are well connected. So people are going to get along much better when there is more opportunity for conversation and when everybody knows how to participate in that conversation to drive the business forward. And one of the opportunities that many leaders are not taking great advantage of in that conversation is talking about what truly matters at the business, what turns them on, and what makes a bigger difference to society at large if we do a great job here. Each generation likes to make a difference, and we need to take the opportunity to have that discussion as often as we can so that it's not about a bunch of tasks. It's about creating something that actually makes a difference to someone and perhaps to the society at large. Finally, we need to role model ongoing respect. All too often, senior leaders are moving way too fast to actually have conversations and to listen well to input. And yet some of the finest leaders of the day have figured out they have to stop, they have to listen, they have to make time to actually get that input and get that perspective, because they learn from it, they get new ideas from it, they also help great talent get well connected to the company, and they can move the business forward much more rapidly as a result.
So let's break it down now. What would you say are your top suggestions for how leaders can accommodate Generation Y into the workplace in a very smooth manner?
This generation, which is known as the Ys of the millennials, needs structure. They don't look at massive amounts of work and somehow work it through. They need structure, and the end point of each structural moment, be it a few hours or a day or two, needs to be positive, constructive feedback. We need to increase the pace of learning. The faster we can introduce them to the subtleties and the nuances of work, the faster that they can contribute. They want to. They are capable of it. We simply have to open the door and get them learning faster. We need to respect them with lots and lots of listening and engagement, and that can be in person, must be in person. Some of the time can equally well be via technology, which they enjoy tremendously. And finally, we have to focus our conversation on why we need results, how everybody is working together to produce those results, and why those results are meaningful. So structure, increased pace universally, increased quality and scope of communication using person and technology, and feedback and ongoing conversation again.
And what about the millennials themselves? What should they be doing to smooth things over?
Well, some of it will happen surely by the process of growing up a little bit and getting their feet wet and hitting a few brick walls when they make mistakes. But I think they can consciously make a choice to start listening more effectively and to recognize that we all know more than our elders when we're right out of school and we're still lacking a fair amount of experience. But we need to recognize at the same time that probably there are some things out there that we still need to learn. So seek mentors, seek opportunities to share technology information and skill sets and swap that out for learning from our elders, more and more experienced people. Recognize that the pace is something that we can all try to speed up, but that sometimes other people don't move as fast as we do. Be a little bit more patient. And try to understand what's really driving the high quality of work so that you learn the nuances and recognize that technology is a brilliant addition to the world of work and even to private life. But multitasking is not something that makes us productive. In fact, multitasking inhibits learning and does, in fact, inhibit productivity. Use technology the way it's most effective, but make sure that you're not overusing it and assuming that it's really not all about your brain. Let your brain do the work. Let the technology support. Basically, you know, find a way to get with the program by teaching us so that we can teach you and we can all move forward together.
Well, Lynn Krager, thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
That was Lynn Krager of PWD Consulting with her take on generational differences. Be sure to visit PWD Consulting when you have a chance. And keep your eyes out for Lynn's upcoming Business Learning Institute programs. She teaches courses on a number of different topics, including leadership, management, communication, and generational issues. In fact, she'll be leading a web-based course titled Leadership and Generations, What Are They Thinking? That course will start at noon Eastern on January 22nd. You can get details by checking out the CPE catalog at www.macpa.org. And be sure to visit the Learning Center at www.bizlearning.net to see a complete list of BLI programs that Krager offers. Thanks for listening. For details about these and other issues that impact CPAs, contact the Maryland Association of CPAs at 1-800-782-2036 or visit us on the web at www.macpa.org.